The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Gareth Topham to look ahead to the best of the action coming up on Sunday. The flat is back. We've got the Lincoln coming up on Saturday and a decent enough card from Donny on Sunday as well. But we're also going to preview two contests at Ascot. I'm joined by a man who I think it's fair to say prefers jumps racing. Is that fair, Gareth?
Yeah, it's fair. I don't mind the flat. I'm just not really ready for it just yet. I mean, it's the Grand National next week. It's the Scottish Grand National the week after. Looking at the entries for the Scottish Champion Hurdle as well, There's a lot of exciting stuff still to come over the jumps, not just Aintree next week.
No, I agree. I think as well, the way that the meetings are planned out, It's not great in that you have Doncaster and then there's sort of a break of 2 weeks before you get any more turf action. But at the same time, it is pretty exciting. We're recording this on Saturday lunchtime, so prior to the start of racing on Saturday, which is why we're only going to look at one race at Doncaster. We were just saying off air there, we don't want to look at one of the sprint races because we don't know how the draw is going to pan out, and it would be remiss of us to offer up a tip, maybe drawn low, if the racing on Saturday proves that you want to be drawn high. So
exactly.
But we're also going to look at two contests at Ascot. You are, however, commentating tomorrow at Doncaster. Is that a bit of a challenge, having done all of the jump stuff? Is it very, very different? Because, I mean, obviously, you're going from a four-runner novice chase where you can reference everything to a 5-furlong sprint where you're lucky if you get every horse in.
Yeah, I did a jumpers bumper meeting the day that my tent or yours won, down at Kempton. I think that was about a month ago. But other than that, I haven't done a flat meeting on course since, I think, around late September. At Ripon last year. So, yeah, it's going to be completely different, hence why on the radio today I'm going to be calling Doncaster to get back in the swing of things. And that's something that... not that... I'm not saying I want to be covering all-weather racing on course throughout the course. I don't mind doing the odd one. The odd one here and there wouldn't go amiss. But at the moment, I'm one of the commentators. I think it's because, obviously, I'm based up here. I don't tend to do any all-weather. I've had no Wolverhamptons, no Southalls. And that Kempton Jumpers bumper meeting was the closest I've got to doing a flat meeting. So, whereas a lot of the other on-course commentators, like at Doncaster today for the Lincoln, we've got Mark Johnson. It'll be fine for Mark because Mark's been doing all weather. He's out to America and things like that. So the other commentators get a little bit more of a mixture. Look, I'm quite happy doing the jumps all the way throughout the jump season.
I was going to say, maybe you're not getting the all-weather gigs because every time we do a racing podcast, you slag the all-weather off. That might be something to do with it.
I'm always more than happy with what I get given on course. I really am. It's going to be a real challenge tomorrow. We kick off with a 21 runner handicap over 7 furlongs. So likely that they'll go into a couple of groups. And obviously it's different to a 3 mile chase with 6 runners or a 2 mile novice hurdle. I had yesterday a 2 mile hurdle with 5 runners. I think at Newcastle. So it's going to be totally different. But that's the nice thing about racing in this country and the commentators, I think, in this country compared to other countries. If you listen to the Australian commentators and the American commentators, no disrespect to them, they're brilliant at what they do. But you stick a jump race in front of them and I don't think it sounds quite as good.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I love about the racing and the commentators in the UK is the fact that because of the nature of the sport in this country, we're so versatile. We're able to adapt and every race is different over here. In America, every race is on a left-handed track, a mile round. It's always on the flat. It's on dirt or turf. Here, tomorrow, for example, we've got racing at Ascot, right-handed over jumps. We've got racing at Doncaster, completely different track, left-handed. That's the great thing about racing in the UK.
Yeah.
It's so different to anywhere else, I think, in the world. And that's what makes it the great sport that it is. So, no, really looking forward to the challenge tomorrow. I must be honest, when I looked at the declarations, I wasn't thrilled to see that. I think I've missed out by two horses. If there's 124 horses declared for a meeting, I believe that the rule is you're allowed to ask a fellow commentator to come and help you. Mm-hmm. So I've missed out by two. But nevertheless, I've got a spotter and rearing to go. And it'll be nice to get back into the flat, because once tomorrow is out of the way, I've got a lot of flat racing coming up in April at places like Ripon, which can get big fields. So, yeah, really looking forward to it. Going into it with a positive frame of mind.
Definitely.
Hopefully we'll come out the same.
Yes, hopefully. Right, well, we'll start by looking at the two races at Ascot, and then we'll look at the one at Donny that we're going to feature. We'll start with the 3 o'clock from Ascot. It's a juvenile handicap hurdle over 2 miles, a class three contest with 12 runners down to go to post. Some pretty interesting types here. We've got Arlim, who's arriving here looking for the hat-trick, but horses like Zamoyski, Carry On Sydney, Ronaldinho, not all of them have won, but they've shown bits and pieces of nice enough form. And of course, right up at the top there, Dowalan, who was reasonably well fancied at Cheltenham, went off the 7-2 favourite for the Fred Winter, but was a little disappointing there.
Yeah, I really like these sorts of races, races which they're handicaps, but for a special type of race like juveniles. You don't get many juvenile handicaps. There's a hunter's chase at the end of the card. You don't get many handicap hunter chases, but when they do actually occur, I do quite like them, because I think they're fascinating betting races. And this is a really classy little affair, I thought. The one I quite like at the likely prices is Zamoyski. AP McCoy on board for trainer Steve Gollings. This horse has got some of the very best form in the book. Chased home the useful Pearl Castle last time out, and he wasn't stopping that day either. He kept galloping all the way to the line. Pearl Castle had to keep going. Okay, ultimately, Pearl Castle went to the Triumph Hurdle and disappointed, but that was the Triumph Hurdle. Mm. We're talking about a Class 3 handicap here. So I definitely think that Zamoyski has got some of the best form in the book, even though he hasn't won a race yet. I think Arlim comes here with perhaps one of the sexiest profiles of those in the race for trainer John Ferguson. Dennis O'Regan will be on board, but he's won twice at Catterick. Okay, both times on the snaff, but this is going to be a completely different kettle of fish for Arlim. He's up against better horses at a higher profile track. I think he might, as a result of his profile so far, get sent off maybe a little bit underpriced.
Yeah.
So I'd be willing, from what I believe, to take him on. Dowalan needs to bounce back, but again ran at Cheltenham last time out, but does have to give weight all around, and there are some pretty useful horses below Dowalan in the handicap here. Carry On Sydney is another contender, although it must be said the best of that one's form has come on for me anyway. I think a softer surface. So the one I'm going to side with is Zamoyski, because he hasn't won a race yet. I think he's been found a good opportunity. AP McCoy, fantastic jockey booking. And on form, for me, he's right up there. So Zamoyski, pretty warm selection in that 3 o'clock.
Okay, Zamoyski in the 3 o'clock. A competitive race, though. Hard to rule many of those out. Okay, next up, the 4:10. It is a veterans handicap chase over 3 miles, a Class 2 event with 13 runners down to go to post. Some real old favourites in here. Again, it's another one where if anything won this, you wouldn't be massively surprised, purely because they do have the back class.
Yeah.
But it's what's arriving in good heart and maintaining the enthusiasm for the game. I think a few of these enthusiasm may be on the wane slightly. Which one do you fancy here?
Yeah, that's a really good point, I think, there, Alex, actually, because you look at a couple of the form figures for some of these horses. You've got Hey Big Spender up at the top. He's got to carry 11 stone 12 tomorrow. His recent form figures, PP naught. We've got Well Refreshed, who seems to have gone off the boil, PPF. Bradley, P1P, although I do think he's got a chance, Bradley. Yeah, and the one that I've actually sided with is the one down at the bottom, Freddo.
Okay.
I thought he ran a really good race at Stratford last time out, and I know that this is going to be a lot harder, but he gets plenty of weight from the useful horses in this. Robert McCarth, who's plenty of value for the weight that he takes off the horse's back, he's claiming £5. And I just think that off a feather weight, this horse is guaranteed to stay, guaranteed to go in the conditions, comes here in better form than most, has got a good each-way chance. I thought Bradley, if he can reproduce the form that he showed when he won at Sandown a couple of outings ago in an amateur's race, he'd be right up there. He didn't have things go his own way last time out, but that was in the Midlands National at Uttoxeter. And that he's back to a right-handed track here. He won at Sandown, as I said, two outings ago. He's got Paddy Brennan on board, excellent jockey. for trainer Fergal O'Brien. I just think on his best form, conditions here are going to be absolutely spot on for Bradley. So I think he might be able to recapture the form that saw him win last month. And of the others, yeah, there's, as you say, a lot of old favourites. Certainly wouldn't surprise to see the two that I've mentioned be well out the frame and a couple of others at much bigger prices come in. It is that sort of race. But I just think Freddo comes here with a more compelling profile than most. And with him getting weight from all of the others, I think he might well be the one to take the catch in Bradley, the danger if he bounces back.
OK. We'll move on to Doncaster then. For the 3.55 contest, it is the William Hill number one downloaded betting app, Doncaster Shield. Conditioned stakes even, easy for me to say. 1.5 miles the trip for this Class 2 contest. Just the five runners going to post.
Beautiful. This is my sort of race.
But it is very interesting, this one. It's another one where you couldn't really rule many out. We'll start with... I suppose we'll have to start with Conduct and Gatewood, but I do have something to say about one of the less fancied runners in just a moment.
Okay.
Where would you be siding? Where would you start looking at this one?
Well, the one that I've come down on is Conduct, who obviously likes it around here. Won the November handicap, really fiercely competitive race by 5 lengths at the end of last season. The only worry I've got with Conduct is on the back of... The two seasons back, obviously, came into last season fresh. He only ran fifth on that occasion. I just wonder whether there'll be something else in the race which is perhaps a better horse running fresh. But Conduct showed a lot of improvement to win the November handicap, as he did. And that was a fiercely run affair. This is going to be a completely different race. And whilst he probably isn't going to represent a great deal of value on the day, I still think he might just be a real horse. I know he's seven now, but... There was a lot to like about that performance back in November. And let's face it, from the end of the flat season to the start of the new one, it's only just over 3 months. It's not a great deal of time to be off. We get horses running on the all weather, which sometimes have had 90 days off,
and
we think nothing of it. I mean, this one's coming into the race after 141 days off, admittedly, but there are still bigger breaks for a horse to have in racing. They're all going to be racing here fresh. There isn't a horse who's run so far yet this year, even. So I, apart from Area 51, who's had a spell over the jump. So I think Conduct, he might just have a little bit of a class edge on them, and he was the one that I highlighted. Gatewood is a horse who always promises going to win one, but he just doesn't. His recent form figures 2-3-2-2, and I don't know. He's just not a horse that I've taken to. He is classy. But I'm not so sure. Chancery, another one who could have a good chance on the best of his form. He was quite a likeable sort last year. Romantic Settings, I think I called that one win up at somewhere like Musselburgh last year. Another nice horse for the Richard Fahey stable, and gets weight from all of the others. And then Area 51, who'll be fitter than most because he's had a run over the jumps. Fascinating little five-runner race, but it was Conduct the one I fell on. But it wouldn't be one I'd be piling the pennies onto.
Now, the one that I was reasonably sweet on, maybe not for tomorrow, but I do like Chancery a lot. Was really impressed with the way that he won.
Was this the one that was supported for the Cambridgeshire?
No.
What am I thinking of? Blue and grey colours. I should know this, shouldn't I, really?
Blue and grey for the Cambridgeshire.
Yeah, pale blue and grey stripes.
Blue Bayesian?
Yeah, them colours. It's not this horse. David O'Meara
didn't run in the Cambridge.
It didn't, no.
No.
I remember Andy Holding flagging one up for it. I thought it might have been this fella, but... Did he win at Haydock last year?
He did. He won at Haydock, then he won at York.
That is the horse I'm thinking about. It is this one. Yeah, I like him
as
well.
Yes, he won at Haydock, won at York. Then
I might have even been at Haydock the day he won.
Well, then he was a little bit disappointing at Haydock again.
Right.
And then won at York on a day that I was there and travelled so well there for a horse that was supposedly in the grip of
big
the handicap,
wasn't it?
Really big handicap.
Yeah.
Won that day and then was just maybe a little bit outclassed in listed company, and then back in a handicap, just looked slightly badly handicapped, if you like, last run of the season, but was only beaten 4 lengths by La Hague. That's decent enough form. I just think it's a horse that it'll be interesting to see if Chancery can make the step up to conditions races, to listed contests this year. So I'll certainly have more than a keen eye on that one. Because it is a horse that I like, and I just think he's one of those horses that's almost too good for a handicap, but not quite good enough for...
Falls into that.
Yeah, so certainly one to keep an eye on throughout the season, but you'd be with Conduct in there.
Yeah, I'd be with Conduct. I respect everything you'd say ahead of Chancery. And it certainly wouldn't surprise me to see him finish ahead of Gatewood. If I was against one in this,
yeah,
it would be Gatewood, just because at the likely prices, I just don't think he's worth a bet, because he doesn't win races, whereas the others do. But it's a fascinating race, and all five of them obviously used to racing in races which have massive fields and are run at a very strong gallop. So it'll be interesting to see where the pace angle is going to come from in this, just the five runners. Fascinating little affair.
It is indeed. Thank you very much for your time, Gareth. Best of luck with those picks, and best of luck commentating at Donny tomorrow.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.